This is Liz Hudson with the Becker Private Equity Podcast, and today is quite a treat for me. I'm very, very excited to be interviewing the one and the only Scott Becker. Scott is the founder and the publisher of Becker's Healthcare and Becker's Hospital Review. He also produces the Becker Private Equity Podcast, the Becker Business Podcast, and others. So Scott, let me pause for a moment and ask you to tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself before we dive in today.
Liz, thank you so much. And thank you for having a chance to discuss this with me this morning. I appreciate it greatly. So I'm Scott Becker. I'm the founder and publisher of Becker's Healthcare, which we started 30 years ago, and we'll get into that in more depth. I'm also by background a lawyer and a partner at a major law firm, McGuire Woods, and these things are interconnected. I served on the board at McGuire Woods, board of directors, which in McGuire Woods is a 1,300-1,400 lawyer firm, large firm, and also served as the chair of the National Healthcare Practice for about 13-14 years through two different stints, no longer serving those roles, but still a partner at McGuire Woods. So those are the two core priorities, business priorities in life, the Becker's Healthcare and McGuire Woods. Then I've got some other side projects or what I would call almost advanced hobbies, which is the Becker Private Equity Podcast, Becker Business Podcast, and just a pleasure to sort of use those as ways to stay connected with the world and do some things with those. But that's sort of just the very, very starting background on myself. Liz, let me turn it back to you.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Such an impressive background. I met Scott about a year ago, and I've had the good fortune of talking with him about various topics in my journey through PE and building a business. And today I asked Scott if we could trade roles a little bit and see if I could ask some of the questions. And of course, he graciously accepted. So Scott, thanks for the opportunity and making the time today. So myself and so many others, we've had the chance to read, you know, Becker's Healthcare Insights, a lot of the summaries on very pressing matters and very relevant. Also had the chance to listen to some great guests as they shared their journeys. And so today I just wanted to hear about how it all began for you, kind of hear a little bit about the origin story for Becker's. So let's start with this. So how and why was this organization started? Meaning, you know, what was missing out there today and why did you feel this needed to be created to help fill that gap?
Sure. So there's really a couple different stages in that journey, and I'll just give you a little brief background on it. So I started Becker's Healthcare really as Becker's is a surgery center publication about 30 years ago, and it was originally started really to build a brand and reputation as a lawyer in healthcare, and it was really around the niche of surgery centers. So originally, if you went back 30 years or so, had a surgery center conference and a surgery center newsletter. And they were very, very basic. We in this business, which was really more of a marketing effort, outsourced everything in the business and used it to sort of connect with people, develop a brand, and grow a reputation as a healthcare lawyer in the surgery center sector. You fast forward from there about 10 to 13 years or so, and it became clear that there was the opportunity to have a real business, not just a marketing business, and started to hire people full-time into that business, both in business leadership and editorial, and then to help also plan conferences. So personally started to hire 8 to 10 people. One of the people that I hired early on was a woman named Jessica Cole, who's our CEO and president today and partner in the business and magnificent. And she was in college at the time and the niece of a close colleague. And hired her sort of for a summer internship and ended up being just a magnificent performer and leader. She went on a couple of years ago to win an Ernst & Young award as a transformative CEO of the year. But it was a little bit after we hired Jessica that we started to sort this out as a real business and build out an editorial team, a sales team, a key account management team, and a conference team, the sort of four core parts of the business. And I can go on and on, but the real first big change in the business was going back 17, 18 years ago, where we started to hire full-time employees in the business. Prior to that, we had outsourced everything in the business. And that's when I would say we really started to build what we think of today as a media company. And somebody said to me years ago, you've got a business-to-business media company. Of course, I had just done this from scratch and didn't realize that's what we would be categorized as. But it's about 17 years ago that we take the first big step in building a more serious business. Liz, let me turn it back to you and then can answer follow-up questions or whatever you like.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. So surgery center focus initially 30 years ago, you saw that there was obviously some folks that were interested in this, were getting benefit from this. It started to emerge, and great to hear how Jessica evolved from, you know, a college intern to a CEO to a recognized leader in the industry. It's so cool to see how that emerged from just an idea to something that is, you know, profoundly impactful to so many people in this in our world today. So who are your typical listeners, your conference attenders, and what do they gain from, you know, the insights that are being shared?
Sure. And so I'll take you back 16, 17 years ago, and Jess and I started to build a sales team and an editorial team and sort of a group of employees. And when we started to do that, we had to decide we couldn't just be a Surgery Center magazine and business conference and magazine, digital property. We wanted to also be in other areas. So we sort of built a business plan around being in 3 to 5 areas and being deep in those areas. And we needed to do that. Everything is a tail and a dog type of issue. We couldn't hire the right people without being a slightly bigger business, because we needed enough revenue, enough income, enough business to keep the right people busy and build great teams. And so we ended up expanding into hospitals and health systems and into orthopedics and spine. Today, of course, hospitals and health systems is 80%+ of the business of Becker's Healthcare, and it's really by far the biggest part of the business. We didn't know that would be the case, but of course, in hindsight, it's natural and easy to understand why it is the case. We live under 3 or 4 core principles. Number one principle is building a great team. The second two principles are to be niche-centric, very focused in the area that we're in, deep in the area that we're in. And third is to be customer-centric, to make sure we take care of our customers extremely well. Our readership, that part of our customer base, the readership in the health system area would be hospital and health system leaders, from CEOs, CFOs, CNOs, CIOs, the whole group of senior leadership at hospital and health systems, down to vice presidents and leaders of service lines. And that's sort of the core reader and listener. One of the early decisions that we made was there's a magnificent print publication called Modern Healthcare in the healthcare business. And one of the, you know, in hindsight, smart decisions we made is that we couldn't compete head on with Modern Healthcare. Modern Healthcare, this magnificent print publication, I was funding everything myself. And so I couldn't afford to fight them on the print publication sites. We decided that our strength was going to be a great digital presence, really digital and events. We made those two things our focus, being the number one leading brand in the website and digital newsletter area, and then also being big in events and conferences. And that was really the core distinction and strategy that we went after. But our core listeners and readers in the hospital sector, hospital and health system executives and leadership, in the surgery center, they're the administrator, chief nursing officer, and the physician owners of it, in orthopedics and spine, its practices and so forth. And then our other big line is health IT. And in that area, it's a more sprawling group of listeners and readers. Liz, let me turn it back to you.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And how you mentioned this group of people that's, you know, really developing this this space of current events, digital for hospitals, ortho spine, for health IT, and dental, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. How do they stay current? How do they stay on the latest trends and, you know, really gather those great insights that all of us are hungry to read about and listen to?
Yeah, we've got one of the crown jewels of the company is the editorial team, and the editorial leadership includes Molly Gamble, is in charge of all editorial. Then Ayla Ellison, Laura Durda, Morgan Hafner, Mackenzie Bean, and a number of others. But their job, they lead a team of about 25 full-time writers and journalists and leaders that, you know, their job is covering the areas that we're deep in and constantly focusing on covering those areas. You know, and when we first started this, you know, we thought we would be deep analysis. We're far more news and business news and letting people know here's what's going on, here's what's happening in the space, so that readers read us to get a quick sense of what are the trends, what are they seeing, what's going on. Yeah. Are people hiring? Are they laying off? Are they financial problems? Are they not? What service lines are they focused on? Whatever the issues are of the day. you know, obviously what's going on with COVID-19 this past year and all kinds of things. But it's really they run a magnificent editorial team of 20, 25 writers that day in, day out covers these areas and tries to make sure that our readers, that we're relevant to our readers, that we give the readers the information they want to have.
Yeah, no, that's great. You mentioned COVID. Surely COVID's kind of put a pause on some of the, you mentioned the conferences, right? So it's probably put a pause on some of those in-person gatherings. I myself am very excited about when the next in-person conference might be, both from just hearing and learning and also from a networking perspective. Do you have a sense of when the next in-person conference might be?
Sure. I think we're getting closer to believing that they'll be again this fall. I mean, it's
okay, great.
We're at a spot where the world is opening up probably far more rapidly than we expected. You know, people that I talk to in business are going back to conferences. We expect that if we end up with fall conferences, they'll be a little bit lower in attendance here, a little bit muted in attendance. We'll have to do more things on social distancing, more things to keep people, you know, as safe as possible. Not that really there's great clarity in how you actually fight the virus, but it more and more looks like conferences will be back in earnest this fall, but with reduced attendance and more guidelines and safety and so forth. Is where our current thinking is at, and it's literally been a week to week type of thing. If you'd have told me that a month ago, I would have told you that you're crazy. Now as we end towards the end of May, it's looking more likely that we'll have fall conferences again.
That's awesome. Very exciting. Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time today. I know I've told you this before, you've had a tremendous impact on and influence on so many people, and I'm certainly at the front of that list. You have brought a microphone to people and their stories on so many different levels. And what's cool for me is I get to watch you lift those voices up and see the sincere happiness that it brings you when other people shine. And for me personally, that's been one of the great and most fun experiences for me. We really appreciate all your support of our organization, for myself. And I love the challenge that you give to me each time. You push me to learn more, to share more, to grow. So thank you for all you're doing for me and for the world around you. So thank you for that. And Scott, for those listening, how can they learn more about you, about your organization?
Certainly. And Liz, thank you very much. It's my great pleasure to get a chance to talk to and connect with and amplify other people. I think it makes things so interesting. I've been gifted in my law career to have magnificent people that have worked with me that have now become the leaders in the law firm and that are magnificent leaders, and the similar thing in Becker's Healthcare, people that have become leaders there and grown into just magnificent leaders. And we love to connect with the world and see what's going on. Obviously, people can Google Becker's Hospital Review, Becker's Healthcare, and find it right away. You can follow me on LinkedIn at Scott Becker, you know, and I'm easily accessible, you know, just to reach out to me by email or phone and so forth, and easy to find. Obviously, easy to find me on LinkedIn and message me there, or to connect with me at sbecker@mcguirewoods.com, sbecker@beckershealthcare.com, or any of these organizations. But Liz, a great pleasure to visit with you. You were connected to me by a magnificent woman who used to work with me, who went on to take a job as a leader at the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists, Sarah Chaco. And so to me, the whole world is this connectivity and getting a chance to visit with, learn, and meet magnificent people. So a great pleasure for me to get a chance to interview you and talk to you on the Becker Private Equity Podcast week to week. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much for turning the table
yeah.
today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Appreciate all of this.